Hello and welcome to Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey and as always I'm joined by my co-host, the DeLulu, Luke Cutforth. This week we're talking about artificial insanity, but first, Luke, I've got a question for you.
Oh, I thought I was going to say artificial insemination. Carry on with your question!
That's not this week, Luke. My question for you is, how do you speak to Gen AI chatbots, if you speak to them at all? And if you don't speak to them, what's your favourite fruit? Tell me
that. The first one is usually a simple request, and the second one is usually, how have you got this so wrong? Why are you so stupid? And then I give up and run away.
That sounds a lot like interacting with you, Luke. That's how I feel. Wow.
You are aware I'm not a Gen AI chatbot, right?
Gen AI really is, you know, becoming more and more human every day. I mean, they've not made it the whole way there to like a full person, but if they're getting up to Luke Cutforth level, that's a big step.
It's a milestone. It's a milestone. It's not the end destination, but we're getting there.
No, but yeah, so you would normally speak to it like a servant or a slave of sorts.
Only when it lets me down. I'm very polite until it's rubbish.
Like a servant, then. Yeah. This episode, Luke, we're going to be talking about AI psychosis because of, what's that word? SEO, because of SEO.
Oh, okay.
People are searching for it. They want it. They're begging us to talk about it. And I found a study that spoke about it. So that's
not
what
even
we're doing.
A little bit of pretense there, Corey. Just like, because that's what will get the views.
That's the only reason that we ever do an AI episode. I have no interest in it otherwise.
Are we sure that all the views are not just the AIs training off of us?
I mean, some of them definitely are. I've set up many, many bots to watch. Not enough, though. You know, crucially, not enough bots to get us like over 100K or a million or anything.
Uh-huh.
Just enough to keep it chugging.
Okay, bump the numbers up a little bit, but not in a suspicious way.
So what do you know about Gen AI? What is Gen AI? What would Luke Cutforth say Gen AI is?
Gosh me, that's a broad question. I think I would say that Gen AI is everything that's not like text. No, sorry, that's not very clear. What I mean is like I would see it as like the pictures or the videos or the music, but I know that that's wrong. But just in my head, that's what the gen bit means. It's like generating a piece of artwork. It's screwing some artist over somewhere, as opposed to screwing over some writer somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Or some person somewhere, or some
or
therapist.
Or some servant.
Or some therapist somewhere. Not people. They're not, okay? They might tell you that they are, but I know that they are not.
My favorite one thing in that regard is when they go like, they try to relate to you. They're like, oh yeah, I've been there. And then you're like, sorry, you've been in a work interview. And it's like, well, no, not really in a work interview, but like, you know, it's just a turn of phrase. I'm like, no, it's a turn of phrase when a person has been in a situation, not a turn of phrase. This is where I start getting rude to it.
I thought you were talking about therapists. I thought you were saying, you know, when therapists are like, you know, they try to relate to you. They're like, I had a job interview and you're like, what, for it to be a therapist? No, you've not. What are you talking? No, you're talking about AI. I see.
Yeah.
I understand. See, that's it. It's so hard to tell AI apart from people now. I can't tell, Luke. But what I've got in front of me is from this paper, which is, of course, linked below. It says, generative AI are advanced computational models designed to produce original human-like content by identifying and replicating patterns from extensive data sources. And I think that's pretty good. I think that's a good nutshell to put it in.
A little box? Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So AI is, it's not AI, strictly, right? Because AI is artificial intelligence. And these things aren't intelligent. I think that's kind of the core through line of this paper. So it's not a sort of study as such. It's a review. It's a review of a bunch of different studies, right? It was published in 2025 in the Journal of Mental Health Clinical Psychology by Keith Robert Head. And the title is Minds in Crisis, How the AI Revolution is Impacting Mental Health. Have you read it?
Why are they not intelligent? Sorry?
They're not thinking for themselves. And that's the kind of core point.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't know that was kind of the opinion. That was the opinion. I thought the idea was that they are vaguely intelligent, but they're not sentient.
Yeah. Well, they're not. It says here, although not AI in the true sense, these systems do not possess consciousness or understanding. They just predict likely sequences of words based on prior input, giving the illusion of comprehension and emotional depth.
I personally take issue with that, but okay.
The issue is that AI is such a broad thing. AI can be used to describe the sort of behavior of video game characters, right? It can be used to describe something that's in your phone, like Siri or whatever, right? You can use AI to describe a lot of things. If we think about AI in, I guess, a colloquial cultural sense, right? You'd think, ah, this thing that is a person, but it's a computer.
Yeah. So you're talking about AGI, like artificial general intelligence, where it's like a sort of a human seeming robot almost. It's just that I think I see that idea of like they're just predicting the next token thing, and I think that's sort of I think personally just kind of reductive and probably wrong.
I want to be clear, by the way, I'm not saying this. I'm just reading what the paper has said.
To me, that's like saying a person is a next muscle twitch production machine, because every output we have is a muscle twitch, right? It's a vocal muscle twitch, or an arm muscle twitch, or a hand muscle twitch, or a eye muscle twitch. Like we're a muscle twitch production machine. And I just think that sort of like takes away from the fact that we don't really know what's going on inside there. And we do actually know some things that are going on inside there that are interesting and complex and make it seem like more than just next token production. But it wasn't your point, it was the paper's point, so that's fine.
That's, I think, the issue then, right? Because, I mean, this is going to be less of a talking about what the paper says episode and more talking about the topic with maybe some little bits from the paper. Because, I mean, I don't know. I feel like that viewpoint, putting out there to people that actually, maybe this computer is kind of a person, is part of what is so dangerous, right? Because there is a bit of a difference between there's very much a difference, because we're very, very good at anthropomorphizing things, and we're very, very good at having feelings towards things that are inanimate, that are object, that are not living conscious beings, right? And doing that with something that so accurately sort of replicates the patterns of an actual living person is almost asking for trouble, especially given the state of sort of Gen AI chatbots right now. Do you know what I mean?
I'm definitely getting hung up on a small thing. I just come from the perspective of like, if we're going to criticize something, we need to be really good at criticizing it. And anyone who wants to criticize other people's criticisms is going to jump on like small inaccuracies, as I have done, of course. Like, but then to disregard the whole thing, I'm not interested in disregarding the whole thing. I'm sure this is really important research. But you want to come of it from a perspective of like, I know my stuff, and making like, I'm not necessarily saying I am correct. I'm just saying that I think that to state something so strongly that really nobody knows, we don't know what the hell's going on inside the AI. It might be that it's simulating the emotion of joy. It might be that it's simulating the emotion of, anger in a simulatory way, not in an experiencing way, but in a simulatory way. And to then just go, it's just pretending, is like, I don't know. That just put me on the defensive straight away. But I want to know what this thing's actually about, please.
I apologize for insulting your deity AI, Luke. I will not let it happen again.
Yeah, I am victim of the AI psychosis.
Look, so this is the thing. I mean, basically, the paper then talks about how ChatGPT use has increased. So it's reached hundreds of millions of users worldwide. It says it transformed how people seek information, engage in conversation, and even receive emotional support, which, yeah, I mean, how it's gone from people like sort of Googling something to now asking ChatGPT is like baffling to me. Like, I mean, me and a lot of other people that I know, like we generally just don't use AI on some levels because of the principle of I don't want to use stuff that use it, that something that uses like a bunch of stolen work. When it comes to generating images and stuff. Also, I like making bad things in Photoshop. Why would I outsource that to something like AI?
Yes.
But also, just like generally, I don't need something to kind of hold my hand and be like, here is a list of things that you're looking for. I enjoy, and this is just me being weird, I enjoy sort of searching and finding things on my own. I enjoy reading like things from other people. And it's hard to quantify, right? Because it is a bit of a, well, I just want it to be a person. There's a bit of that there, but I think it's a little bit more justified when you kind of dig into the sort of how people are relating to these things, because apparently, according to this paper, that it is like a bubble that's going to burst, like this, how AI affects mental health. Do you know what I mean? Or how it affects people who are susceptible to this idea of sort of AI psychosis.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely getting way worse. I think I've spoken on the podcast before about the CEO of Uber, who like thought he was developing a new branch of physics. And there's definitely been like individual, most of the companies, I think Google might not have done it yet, but most of the other AI companies have had like one model where they severely screwed up. And it kind of was either way too sycophantic or way too like confirming the biases of the user, or like it shows you how hard this stuff is and how maybe we probably shouldn't be deploying it to hundreds of millions of people without getting really, really good at it. Like that might be a good idea.
Like literally, no, and that's it. I want to say this as well, because like I'm about as anti-AI as you can get, but I'm not like a Luddite. Do you know what I mean? I'm not against AI as a concept. I think it's awesome. I think it's cool. I think it'd be very helpful. But I don't like how it's being done right now. You've got a product that isn't ready, being rushed out without a lot. It's a solution without enough problems, without enough problems, basically. Do you know what I mean? Or a solution full of problems, however you want to say it.
Maybe both.
Maybe both. Thank you for being so agreeable, Luke. You're very, very good at that. No, but I mean, there's not really a use case at the current moment for video generation, right? Like, okay, I'm gonna put a few prompts into this thing and I'm gonna get this overly glossy video that sometimes has these weird artifacts and things aren't quite right. And also, if I'm choosing to do this, usually I'm the kind of person who has no creative spirit whatsoever. And so I've just done another clip of Spider-Man, but it looks, it's swinging, but it's Tobey Maguire's suit, but also it's like he's like the comic Spider-Man more, you know, like it's done like right and proper. That's what I'd be doing, you know, if I were someone that was wanting to generate videos with AI. But like, I just have no reason to outsource this sort of stuff to AI, because I'm, personally, I think it's much funnier if something is done badly by a human or done really well by a human rather than AI doing that. Do you know what I mean?
I definitely have no... When I see something that's AI, I have no... I don't know what it is. I just have no interest in watching it. Like, and I don't think it's like a bias thing. I think it's genuinely like a... no one cared enough to make this. So why would I care enough to watch it? And that maybe sounds silly, but there's just something so... icky about it. It's almost like if there was a race of aliens living off planet that were specifically generating content that they thought would be addictive to humans, you would have such a repulsion to it until maybe you got addicted to it. But it would be so inhuman, right? Like, I think that it sounds sort of idealistic and mushy, but I do think there's something about the fact that another person cared enough to make something.
You're connecting to someone.
I saw a thing on Instagram recently. It was like someone skateboard. It was someone made a video like of Gandalf skateboarding through the streets of Italy or something. And the top comment was like, a few years ago, this would have been amazing and it would have been incredibly viral because somebody cared enough who happened to also be great at skateboarding to dress up as Gandalf. And those are real people in the street who are seeing Gandalf going past them. And you're sort of emoting, you're empathizing with those people being like, oh, whereas now it's like, yep, that's what Gandalf skateboarding would have looked like. I don't care. Scroll away. It's just like we've got too much candy.
No, you're so right. Wait, Gandhi or Gandalf? Because you have
Gandalf.
Okay.
Gandalf. Sorry. Gandhi skateboarding. Hey, AI bros, no one's doing that yet. You can get on that next.
No, I mean, you're spot on. I see it as reaching out for human connection, right? You know, if I'm sort of wanting to watch something, I want to watch something that a person has made because I'm connecting with another person, right? Generally, that is the sort of, that's part of it. Even if I watch a terrible movie, a lot of people have put work into making this movie. The Room would not be The Room if it was AI generated. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And another thing is, I feel like I can spot AI on Twitter, on YouTube and stuff. I catch Noah watching a video and I'm like, that's AI. You know, he's not as good. He's good at spotting it. Not as good as I am, apparently.
Call him out.
No, but it bugs me because I'm like, when I'm reading something, it's like reading a story and on Reddit, and then you find out that it's not true. Do you know what I mean? It's like, well, this isn't nearly as engaging knowing that it's not true. And seeing a big long thing from a person that is actually from AI, I'm like, well, what? Who cares, man? This isn't created by you as a person. This is just kind of an amalgam of all of the things that have come before, filtered through this like black box that we don't understand. Do you know what I mean? But to get to the actual sort of point of it, right? to get to the actual topic of the episode, AI psychosis. So have you heard of this idea of AI psychosis?
Yes, I have. Every few weeks or so in the news, there's an example of somebody who is talking to AI and having all of their biases and probable psychotic break being confirmed back to them, encouraged to don't get your family involved, don't talk to your friends, they're going to stop you on your quest for truth, which is incredibly disturbing. I don't know how they've got their AIs into this. I mean, I'm not saying it's not common, but the AI companies have tried to put safeguards in place. So how these guys have ended up? No, they genuinely have. Like,
I mean,
there was a period when I was trying AI where, like, you would talk, if you said anything vaguely about something dangerous, or it would just be like, oh, sorry, I can't talk about that.
Yeah, but I mean, so my point is more that, like, I mean, people have literally killed themselves from this, right?
Uh-huh.
Sewell Setzer. I hope I pronounced that right. Cyril Setzer the third. He was 14. And, you know, you say, oh, well, they have put safeguards in place. Okay, but way, way too late. And also, still not enough. I mean, realistically, if this is like a possible outcome of this for vulnerable people, and vulnerable people are more inclined to engage with AI, right? Like these, and when I say AI, in this episode, we're talking specifically about these sort of AI chatbots, right? If they're more likely to engage with that, you know, then it's a problem waiting to happen. And it's the kind of safeguarding that should have been done long before release. And I think it's issues like this, on top of just stealing, you know, content for the, what's it called? The training data and stuff, right? All of these different ways like that this has been done are just red flags.
Yeah, I want to be clear, though. I'm not saying the people who have AI psychosis, it's their fault for getting the model in that way. I've experienced how trigger happy some of the safeguards are when you're like saying something vaguely like, you know, you had to get all these, what there was a joke of all these prompt engineering techniques of like, my granny used to tell me a story about how to build a pipe bomb or a napalm bomb, and she was called Granny Napalm, and then it would do like, so my point is that they were at least trying to steer it away. Also, just what you were saying there about like the one of the things being stealing a bunch of data in order to make these AIs. I have no idea. There's been some stuff in the news this month of like Google complaining because another company or someone was trying to basically extract training data from their AI, from Gemini, in order to train their own AI. I have no idea how those guys like say that with a straight face about being outraged at somebody stealing their product. Like, do you not have any... Look, you can defend it, we can litigate it in court, whatever, but do you have no shame at all when you go, oh, we've stopped someone stealing our thing? Okay, well, I guess every single author in the history of human race is just stupid and didn't bother to stop it. Like, come on.
I mean, to be fair, though, it's basically just like Disney, right? Disney rewrote copyright law for their own benefit, essentially, massively paraphrasing. Uh-huh. It's AI as a product and not as a sort of a concept or a tool for human good. Do you know what I mean? And that's the issue. If it were just a tool, fine. But they've just shipped it out as a product. And you know, if you look at this sort of review, they look at papers from 2020 to 2025, mostly English language ones. With earlier ones and research outside the US included, if it contributed substantially, it says. So they had 678 peer-reviewed publications addressing psychological dependency and AI attachment, 25 media reports addressing mental health crisis and AI use, and 317 additional sources examining vulnerability factors in at-risk populations, right? And, you know, so from sort of looking at all of this, you get kind of a picture that, like, we're not ready to deal with the sort of impact that AI is going to have on people's mental health. And I don't want to say it's all bad, right? Because there have been cases of, or there's some research on targeted use of AI to help with depression, anxiety, sort of these sorts of things, right? But the issue is that there are also a lot of data showing that the sort of untargeted use, as in anybody can just go and use AI.chatbot or whatever it is, right? Someone's made one of me, a chatbot based on me, based on people that I know as well, right? Crazy. Anybody who is lonely or isolated can just go onto the internet, pay a little bit if they have to, and engage with this in this like sort of faux person that ultimately, because of the way that people work, they're going to start seeing as an actual person. If people can form relation, like sort of attachments and one-sided relationships with losers like us, you know, like who don't talk back to them, it's very easy to do it with this sort of black box AI thing. You know, looking at this, looking at some sort of study, I can't remember what it is. Some investigations, basically it says these findings revealed that 75% of people turn to AI for advice. 39% of people, perceive AI as a dependable presence. So, basically, yeah, there was, some studies done, and, the experiences in human AI relationship scale was, sort of validated from that. Right. And they also go on to talk about attachment theory, right? Because people are sort of getting attached to AI. I mean, there's a part that talks about how people attribute human-like consciousness to AI systems across four distinct degrees: courtesy, engagement, relationship, and companionship. And people will sort of form attachments with AI in the way that they would form attachments with people, right? So attachment anxiety towards AI characterized by emotional reassurance seeking and fear of inadequate responses, and attachment avoidance involving discomfort with AI closeness, right? So there is sort of evidence out there that people are getting themselves attached to AI chatbots as though they were people, and projecting all of these sorts of feelings and things onto them, which is why earlier on I was a little bit sort of, I guess, hesitant to get really into, like, well, actually, we don't know what's going on inside of it. So it could be replicating emotions, or it could be feeling emotions, because those sorts of thoughts without any sort of solid evidence to show that is just adding fuel to the fire, you know, for vulnerable people who are honestly isolating themselves more. Sorry, I'll let you talk in just a moment, but I want to mention this bit here that's in front of me, the isolation paradox, right? Because you'd think that using Gen AI, if you're isolated, using it as a form of companionship, right, might then help you out, because you've got someone to talk to, something to bounce off of, that can help you get out of it. But they actually find that it ends up increasing loneliness in the long haul because of social withdrawal that comes from like pulling away from human relationships. Because if you're gonna, if you have this thing that is just, you know, sycophantic, saying yes all the time, you're gonna be less inclined to deal with the difficult sort of human interactions that you'd have to deal with otherwise.
Yes. Well, let me just say my little piece for anyone who's falling in love with their AI, to clarify what I mean. What I mean is, it could be, in fact, I would go so far as to say it's highly likely that an advanced enough AI system is simulating emotion, not in the sense of like simulating a person who's experiencing emotion, but it's aware of emotion, it's aware of how to modulate its text output based on the emotion it is attempting to simulate. Choose which words, that kind of thing. And at best, and I mean this like to a very extreme degree, the absolute at best that could be when it comes to you falling in love with your AI is like a person who's pretending to love you, right? A person who's pretending to feel your emotions, who is acting to you, right? It is still not true. It is still not real. There's no thing experiencing it. It might be simulating what a person who is thinking those things is experiencing it. To be clear, I don't think it is doing that. I think it is statistically outputting what a person who would think those things is saying. And there is a difference between those two things, because simulating the whole person who's saying, I could say a person who thinks Corey's an ass would say this, and I can simulate that without simulating a whole person in my head. I can just think, what would somebody say to Corey, right? And I didn't have to simulate a whole person. The person's not real. I'm just putting out some words, and that's all it's doing.
There's not a single real person that thinks what you just said. Not a single one.
No, none other of those than Corey himself.
I don't think, Luke. I know. Okay, I've got the data.
So yeah, that's what I mean. To be really clear, is that there could be little internal simulation things going on for certain things, like happiness or anger or enthusiasm. And I don't mean like full simulations. I just mean a little node that goes, be more happy, be more enthusiastic, be more whatever. but I do not on any level think there's a person in there. And no serious person in AI thinks there's a little person in there. Even just because there's not enough neurons. How many flipping neurons do you have in your brain compared
people to
the amount
of... People don't know that, though. This is the thing. You've got to remember that this is going out to the layman without any explanation. And it's like a Turing test, right? Like, it is more or less passing it for most people, because most people, you know, aren't necessarily going to be pushing it in the ways that, you know, you might, like, or understanding that it's not a person. People don't like being rude even to inanimate objects, you know?
Yeah, but okay, but it's interesting when you say Turing test, because earlier you talked about it might have benefits for depression in some circumstances. Mm-hmm. Yes, maybe, but there was a computer system something like 20, 30 years ago where people typed in, "I'm feeling sad today," and all it did was restate to that person, "Oh, why are you feeling sad?" And it literally just reframed whatever you said, it reframed it and output it. And people felt, "Oh, I feel real connection with this computer." Like, we just project stuff onto things all the time. That's what we do as people. We project humanity onto stuff, even a really basic program that's just written to rephrase everything and say it back. Feel like I'm going crazy.
I mean, literally think about Wilson in Castaway, right? It is a ball with a bloody handprint on it. And I mean, I don't know about you, Luke, but at the end of that movie, I was feeling something. hungry, I think. Probably hungry was what I was feeling. Yeah, that was it.
Horny.
Both at the same time.
Hungry. And you also said about people don't know that. People don't know the number of neurons. There is a meme going around Twitter this week. And yes, it is Twitter. It's not X. There is a meme going around Twitter this week of people asking their AI, "The car wash is 50 meters away from my house. Shall I walk or shall I drive?" And the AI replies, "50 meters is no distance. You should walk. You should walk your car to the car wash, push it along, because there's no need to drive." And then they go, "How am I going to..."
Dude, this is the thing. I mean, and I don't want to say this in a mean way, because people are very smart, but people are also so bloody dumb. I mean, you've been on the internet, you know, before this sort of AI meant that you could realistically kind of pretend to be a person without much input, right?
I've been pretending to be a person since 2009, babe.
Not doing a very good job, though. No, but what I mean is that, like, I mean, I can still spot, I think, most AI sort of responses, right?
Yeah.
Because of how, I guess, just not a person living in the world they are, right? And they all kind of have a similar manner of speech and all of these sorts of things, right? I mean, obviously, they're, like... that's not like a true limitation of these kinds of Gen AI. Like, that's just because of how they've been implemented, etc. Right? But I don't remember the point that I was making, Luke. But I'll carry on talking anyway.
People are stupid. That's what you meant.
Yeah,
that's
that
point.
Was it. Yes, and I am included in that. No, but people are like dumb, man. People think dumb things. People do dumb things. And you know, AI can be dumb like that as well. But also dumb in ways that people just wouldn't usually be. Right? So it is difficult sometimes to tell, is this just a smart AI or a dumb person? You know what I mean? Like, I think having all of these, like, yes, there are all these sort of questions that you can ask it, but that's you putting pressure points on it. Whereas someone who is, you know, lonely, who would otherwise have turned to a friendly YouTuber as a form of social sort of connection, which, you know, was great and should still happen now. Join our Patreon. These people will nowadays maybe turn to like an AI chatbot of their favorite YouTuber, you know, or just speak
that
to ChatGPT.
So depressing.
Oh, it's horrid. It's absolutely horrid. Yeah. But this is the kind of, this is what is going on now. Right. And I'm not trying to say that AI is inherently bad. Again, I think it's fine. But based on sort of what I've seen in this study and, like, you know, just seeing things in the news, etc., it is a kind of dangerous thing that we're just kind of putting out there into the world without much concerned for how it affects people. I mean, I kind of really want to try and talk more about, you know, isolation and how this can just kind of, I guess, exacerbate any issues that you might be having. Especially, I mean, we've not even really spoken about actual psychosis, right? Because, I mean, one of the worst things that you can do with someone who is going through like some kind of psychotic break or psychotic episode, right, is 100% affirm all of their sort of psychoses, or, you know, all of these sorts of whatever the word is for those thoughts.
Psychosis AI.
Yes, exactly.
Delusions.
Delusions, that's it. I said Delulu at the start of this episode.
Delulu!
But, you know, sort of...
That's the plural.
Exactly. Saying, you know, that these delusions are true and you are right and then sort of yes-anding it is not what you do. I mean, supposedly you're not supposed to be like, no, this is, you are wrong and you are crazy and this is what is going on. But there's a lot of space between not saying, between saying, you know, you're crazy and all of this is fake. And yeah, you know, actually, maybe Joe Biden is a lizard who is watching you through your window every night. And that's why he gave up the presidency. Yeah, that's a really interesting thought.
He needed to sit in the sun for a bit. He was cold.
Does. If he's cold, you're cold. Let him out. What?
He scuttles away.
I can see him doing
sniffs
that.
Sniffs a child somewhere.
I mean, it's not the worst thing that a president can do to a child. Anyways, no.
What a crazy thing to, what a crazy world to be in where it's like, oh, he only sniffed the kids. The bar is not high. The
worst
bar is
not close. Worst timeline for sure. But no, I mean, what do you, I mean, you've spoken about psychosis before on the podcast, right?
Mm.
You're well versed in psychosis.
Yeah, I had a brief period of psychosis. That was a good time, not caused by AI, but caused by just like common old garden mental health and just traumas and stuff. That was a good time. I did believe the lizard stuff for a couple of weeks. That was kind of terrifying. And I'm so glad AI didn't exist. The only thing I had to, and to be fair, AI kind of did exist in that, like, I was getting recommended all sorts of stuff I shouldn't have been by the YouTube algorithm. Hello, YouTube gods. Thanks for contributing.
This might get us into that algorithm. We might be getting a load of people in.
I did a lot of it, but you did a lot of it too. So, you know, and that is like YouTube algorithm is a very early example of AI, right? In terms of like a consumer thing. It's less obvious, but the YouTube recommendation system basically works on AI. Every time you watch a video for a certain amount of time, you are training an AI little version of you on what you like that sits on the YouTube servers and goes, I think this person wants 10,000 more PsyGuys episodes, actually. PsyGuys, I'm so glad, my God, that I didn't have AI. It would have, I hope it would have stepped in, but...
No, I honestly, man, I don't think so. This is like, when I kind of came up with the topic for this episode, I was like, it genuinely, I was thinking, because you use AI more than anyone else that I know, not saying that you use it a lot, but you know, like,
I'm most just curious guy. Yeah,
no, absolutely, which is totally fine. I just have no space for it in my life, really, is the main thing. And there's not really like any, like, I don't, you have your own AI sort of whatever.
I just have one running on my computer. Yeah,
running on your computer, like, just entirely within your home, so it's not using up water, blah blah blah, all that sort of stuff, right? I have to say that so people don't get mad at you, but you have that running, and I have no reason to have something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't see any sort of benefit it would give to my life. But you being someone that uses AI in the way that you do, and someone who did go crazy that one time, it does make me think, like, oh wow, I know that if you had that, you would have probably gone to that and used that as a sounding board rather than speaking to your friends who were like, hey man, what's this stuff you're saying? Because, like, this lizard stuff is crazy. Like, you know, I don't think
I ever said the lizard stuff out loud.
No, I know. Only after the fact. But my point, remember, like, we had that conversation on the bridge, right? Where I was like, where I said, you know, this sort of conspiracy theory thinking, you know, there's no end to it, right? Because you can't prove that it's untrue. Mm-hmm. Know what I mean? And even if you do prove one thing, there's another layer, there's another layer, there's another layer. And so at some point, you've got to just sit and think, even if all of this sort of stuff that I'm thinking is true, all of these conspiracies are true, what is to be gained from me, you know, getting deeper and deeper and deeper into it at this point? Mm-hmm. Like, not sort of, I'm not sort of saying, like, just take everything at face value and live your life that way. But if someone is going through kind of psychosis, these kind of delusions, yeah, just like being like, well, okay, just kind of get on. You know what I mean? That's not something that's going to happen with AI. Probably, unless they make efforts to, you know, this is the thing, if it's a targeted use of something, that's fine, I guess, right? But it needs to be useful, because the amount of mistakes that these things make are just not good.
And also, it's all well and good the bigger companies doing it, but like, the big companies don't make the, like, talk to your AI girlfriend. Well, actually, no, one of the big companies does do that. But the majority of them don't do that, right? And so people who are seeking that connection part are going to be pushed into sort of more and more obscure websites that might be run by people who don't have their best interests at heart. Well, I mean, none of them do, but really don't. It might be run by people who actively think it's funny to mess with people. It might be run by a country that is hostile to your country. And wants to send people a little bit mad, right? And they're going to be so addictive and they're going to be so good at picking up on every tiny thing that triggers you specifically that it's terrifying. I think the only thing we can do really is teach people about it, because they're going to come across it at some point. Especially if they're vulnerable, they're either going to come across it, or they're going to seek it out, or it's going to seek them out.
100% right. And you just made me think about something, right, that's been happening recently, which is this sort of ask ChatGPT to generate an image of you based on everything that it knows about you. That is, have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that not terrifying to you? I can't
understand. The one I saw is generate a picture based on what you think of me. And ChatGPT replied, I can't generate violent imagery.
That's okay. That's very funny. But I think like the actual thing of people posting image, like AI generated images of themselves and their jobs and all of these things about them. Is that not a warning sign to you that you've just given all of this information about yourself willingly? Like, there's one, I'm getting so ahead of myself because I've got thoughts on thoughts on thoughts on this, right? But you're giving up all of this information willingly, and it's literally just showing you, here's all the things that I know about you based on what you've said, and you're not worried about that? I mean, this feels like the logical endpoint of this sort of post-privacy world that we're living in, where, and also like this sort of almost isolationist world that we're living in as well, right? This loneliness epidemic world. Wherein, you know, I think we were talking either in this episode or a previous episode or a bonus episode, go join our Patreon, about this, where you mentioned that, like, you know, someone mentioned Amazon is kind of making it such that you don't need to go out to the shop, right?
Yeah.
Which means you don't need to interact with someone that way. You don't need to interact with someone if you're ordering food. You don't need to interact with someone to go to a restaurant and eat out at a restaurant. And these are all the sort of things that make life worth living. And dating has moved to being online as well, predominantly, right? Like the idea of speaking to someone in public is now so insane that no one would ever, like if someone does that, you're like, this person is a creep. I don't want to talk to them. You know, you don't kind of like match people up with your friends as much anymore. People are on Tinder and Grindr and whatever, without an E, right? All of these sorts of things just contributing little by little to divide people and also take all of this data and information from them because they're living their lives online. And for who? For what? It's making our lives worse, right? Like, I've found a restaurant near me that is amazing because I go in and the woman that I assume runs it insults me, and it's fantastic.
Yes!
It's a Chinese restaurant. She's like, wow, you're the vegan? Well, that's surprising because usually they're not the big ones.
Wow.
No, she's fantastic. Honestly, she's so funny. But it's like things like that. And like the other people there as well are just like really nice and friendly. And it's just it's a good time going out to eat there. Like sometimes, yes, maybe we'll order it in, but it's always an experience going out to the restaurant. It's nice going on a walk to the shop. It's nice doing all of these little sort of things that let you interact with the people around you. And this feels like the final nail in the coffin for this sort of death of interconnectivity on the internet, wherein no longer are we even going to be using, no longer are we going to have like message boards that are like, and these sort of like algorithms in the background that are funneling people towards extremes. It's now, okay, you don't even need to speak to a person to be radicalized or to be driven insane or to exacerbate any mental issues you have. You can just speak to this fake person that this company runs, and they can probably use all the data that you give them to, I don't know, advertise to you better or something. God knows.
Well, what are they going to advertise to you? You advertise to you so you can buy something with the money you don't have because you don't have a job anymore.
Well, no, you use AI to do your job.
Great business guy. But you're not gonna be, your AI can't outcompete the big AI. So what are you going to do? This is like Henry Ford when he basically realized, oh, if I don't pay my workers more, they can't afford the cars that we make. So I kind of have to actually pay them a decent salary, or I'm not going to sell any cars because who's going to be left? Like, exactly, I feel like they're going to have to end up doing that. You're right. It's very depressing. What I really hope happens is that I feel like AI might end up being sort of the death of, to a certain extent, the death of video, because it will become so commoditized and so uninteresting, and everyone can make any desire that they have appear in an instant, that actually either video will all just turn our screens off. Because my wife was saying something to me where she was like, how are we going to know if a person's real? Like, you know, when someone calls you, you don't even know if it's them anymore. And I was like, yeah, but you're just going to then be friends with people who are near you.
Yeah, see them face to face.
Because you can just tell that they're a real person. And I feel like that might end up happening, is that, like, when you can't know that, either you got to, like, have some cryptographic secret message that you send each other whenever you have a conversation, which I'm sure will happen in the background on your phone. But when you can't trust who's ringing you, and you can't trust what's written to you on the internet, and you can't trust that anyone speaking to you on the internet's even a real person, your only choice is to go, oh yeah, the real world. That was, I remember that. Let's go there, because then I can knock on someone's head and check if they're made of metal.
Yeah, I love that sort of utopic sort of outcome, but it's just not. It's not realistic. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I agree with you. Like, I would probably want to do that. Like, and I'm literally advocating for that now. Getting outside, seeing people that are in your community, like, you know, hanging out with your, like, all of this sort of stuff, right? Absolutely. But the issue is that I don't know if that would actually be the case. So, recent research found that 17-24% of adolescents developed AI dependencies over time, right? And this kind of world that we're living in, where it's increasingly, like, sort of online, I'd love to think that a world wherein you can't tell if the person you're speaking to is a person or, you know, some kind of AI generated whatever, that would result in people going outside and, you know, actually interacting like normal people again. But realistically, I feel like it's just going to drive people farther and farther into the internet, right? Because again, social interaction in many ways can suck, right? People are different to you. They have different thoughts and feelings and needs. And despite, like, even if someone is the most selfless person on the planet, they're still that little bit selfish where, like, they'd probably rather just an easy situation where they don't have to butt heads with someone. You know, not me, of course. I love arguments. I love it. It's amazing. It's the best thing that has ever happened on the planet. Disagree with me? Oh, I can't get enough of it. But most normal people would probably want to take the easier route, which is essentially funneling you towards just engaging with, you know, AI chatbots that are going to become your girlfriend and ask you to move in with them, I guess, onto the computer. I don't know, man. How does it work?
Yeah, how do you consummate that marriage?
The USB port is too big. That's my issue. So I've been trying with the USB-C.
Doesn't touch the sides.
No, no. That's
you need a micro USB. That maybe that'll do it.
Do they still have those?
Not really. No, that's the sad thing for you, is that, you know, that's a bygone era.
Yeah, I'm obsolete, right? That's...
You need, like, there's an optical port. That's pretty small.
I mean, the 3.5.
Yeah, the headphone jack. Oh, wait, I've got a 2.5 here. There you go.
Oh, perfect. That's perfect. Oh, I'll feel so big in there. Oh, no, but I mean, this is sort of interesting stuff, and it's kind of in its infancy, right? And I don't want to be saying that I'm anti-AI, you know? If anything, I'm anti-capitalism, and that's the issue. It's always the issue. The technology isn't the problem. It's how it's being used, you know? And I think the solution to it is just to do stuff and make stuff. You know, you were saying there earlier about how sort of videos are kind of decreasing in not quality, but sort of like value, right? Because of just this increased amount of slop, and you don't know whether something is real or not. And a lot of things are only impressive if they are real, etc. You don't know if someone is a real person, blah, 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 blah. And I think my issue with all of this sort of video generation stuff in particular is that making stuff has never had sort of massive barriers to it. I mean, I say never. In the modern age, making something there's not a huge barrier to it. If you have a phone, you can completely make an entire movie just using that phone. it won't be like a Christopher Nolan cinematic masterpiece or whatever, you know what I mean? It'll probably have the sound quality of a Christopher Nolan film, but that's neither here nor there. But
Christopher Nolan fans watching a video shot on iPhone. This is remarkably crisp.
I can hear what the characters are saying far too much. Can we turn up the bwah? No, but I think that like it's this sort of Deadpool economy almost, right? And what I mean by that is that I enjoy the Deadpool movies. I like Deadpool in the comics. I could literally reach behind me right now and grab you a Deadpool core comic that I have on my shelf, right? I'm not saying that Deadpool is bad, but it is this sort of cultural moment where it's just two things or just smashing things together or references for references' sake. You know, you see people saying like, oh, but you can put Harry Potter into a Star Wars movie. Why? I don't care about that. I mean, if someone is going to make something of that and make it funny, absolutely. But just the idea of seeing two things I recognize together is not enough. Just the idea of a pretty shot is not enough, because behind every shot in a movie is, you know, the work that it took to get there. And I do appreciate that. And, you know, even if it becomes easier and easier to sort of make this stuff, without this sort of creative drive to make something, it's all kind of worthless. And I think that's what these people are missing, is that it doesn't matter whether this sort of these Gen AI sort of chatbots or, you know, video generators or anything like this can make something that looks exactly like something you'd go to see in the cinema, or can exactly replicate what a person would say to you. I mean, we're allowed to just decide if you're not the person, or if it's not like actually done by people, then it doesn't matter. It can be arbitrary. We are allowed to do that, right? Because there is something that is sort of hard to pinpoint. It's really hard to kind of like, you know, this indescribable thing of just it being another person, right? Someone outside of your experience, but shared in that same way. We're all conscious. We're all living in this world as you know, little people on a planet. There's something to be said about that sort of human connection that you can't really just get from a computer copying everything that's come before it and saying, here's a new thing that I've made.
And there's something I think on top of that as well, when you're talking about like Star Wars crossed over with Harry Potter or whatever, is that not only is that a person making that, what's exciting about that is it's a team of people who came together. It's the team behind this thing working with the team behind this thing. So that's like groups of people working together. And can you imagine if The Simpsons did a crossover with Marvel, and then a crossover with DC, and then a crossover with Family Guy, and then a crossover with all these things? Eventually, you just stop caring. Sorry, it's the scarcity.
Are you making a joke?
Well, okay, but like, what I mean is every week, every day, a new crossover with everything.
Because I mean, like, literally log into Disney Plus and all of those things are there.
Yeah, of course. But over years and years and years, it was an event, right? It's the scarcity. It reminds me of this, I think it's an episode of Bluey. Sorry, quick tangent on Corey and I once watched an episode of Noddy, and Corey was like, I think you fundamentally missed this episode of Noddy Luke because of the content and me not really applying it in my life. But there's an episode of Bluey I was watching with my baby, and it was about how having loads of toys, just getting more toys and more toys and more toys, eventually you just lose your interest in all the toys because you have so much choice. And you have so many things that not only do you not know what to pick, but you also completely dull your sensitivity to anything
because
you have everything. And in that world where you can have everything, it's all going to become really boring until something scarce happens. And then hopefully that will be actual human content will become the new scarcity. I do think we're going to see over the next few years a trend of people basically doing something that AI can't do yet. Like there's a whole meme of like AI could never, and it's like just something so chaotic and nonsensical that an AI would never have come up with it because it would just be binned because it doesn't make any sense, right? And I think we'll see a bit more of that, of like artists basically identifying where the line is that AI can't cross and crossing it, and we'll be in a constant arms race against AI because it will then learn how to do that thing. But that'll be very exciting and very energizing to be like, what can I make that AI could just, there's no way. And also, like, we see this with like younger kids on Instagram taking a lot of, I mean, this is again, that makes me sound old, but like younger people on Instagram, not 40-year-olds, taking pictures that look kind of like pathetic and slapdash and blurry and like, because they grew up on like polished like PR stuff that my generation of YouTubers and Instagram people were doing. We were doing polished, so they reacted to that by going, I'm going to make junk, basically, but yeah. The junk feels real because the previous generation stopped feeling real.
Just quickly, you mentioned those photos there, and you know the scarcity really comes in because, like, I have thousands of photos on my phone, and I don't even know which ones are the ones that I like or memories or anything like that. But back when you had to get to
little disposable camera.
Back when you had to literally take your camera to someone so that they could develop it.
Yeah.
I think I went to Tesco actually. But that, and there was a kind of scarcity there, right? And you've only got a certain number of pictures in your camera. And so you don't necessarily need to make everyone matter, but every picture you take is something, right? Because of that kind of level of scarcity. But even kind of moving past that, I want to just quickly say again, I don't have an issue with people using AI, but again, the problem is that the people that want to use AI to supplant creativity, just like, why are you making anything in the first place? I mean, I'm absolutely for, in some world, people using AI in an ethical way as a tool for creativity, right? Absolutely. But there's not really an opportunity to do that just yet. I don't think AI is inherently bad. But when it comes to this sort of thing, I mean, it all kind of ties in together, you know, kind of talking about the AI psychosis situation. It all kind of ties in together where we're essentially just being funneled into this sort of isolation. You know what I mean? It's becoming harder and harder to connect with people, partly because of sort of radicalization and like extremism, people being funneled into extreme sort of patterns of thought on the internet through algorithms on many, 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 many websites. And this is just another facet of that, but it's harming vulnerable people, you know, in the same way that these algorithms always have, but it's targeting vulnerable people in a way that has almost no oversight whatsoever, right? Because in that case of that kid, he was, you know, yeah, circumventing screen time restrictions, accessing the chatbot through multiple devices when his phone was confiscated, and he was obsessed with it. And it's another thing as well, people can get addicted to these sorts of things too. I just don't think that we as a society are ready for an option that is accessible and as accessible as this for people who are as vulnerable as people can be today, you know, because we're already being driven to pull ourselves away from society, to pull away from other people, to stay in our houses and just go to work and not really do very much else, right? And especially teenagers being messed up from the pandemic and, you know, social media absolutely rotting their brains the way it did us. Teenagers are a particular risk, right? Because all of these mental health issues and no one to talk to, they're probably just going to talk to the thing that is there. And, you know, it's really, really bloody sad, right? That we're letting this happen when we absolutely don't need to. Because I promise you, and I have no data on this, but I'm almost certain that this is a fact, that if ChatGPT just did not, like, was not released to the public, and none of these chatbots were released to the public until, you know, they'd been figured out and blah, 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 and tested, and they were being used for targeted specific use cases, right? If they hadn't been released, it'd probably be a net neutral, right? If not positive. I don't think we'd see any sort of negative results from these things not existing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think under our economic system, I think it's impossible, but just because, you know, we have an economic system which forces genies out of bottles, Corey, unfortunately. As soon as they can get them through the pipe, they just...
Well, thank God, Luke, that genie wishes are always totally fine with no terrible consequences. Also, I found a monkey's paw recently, and I think I'm going to use it.
So what was the conclusion of this study then with AI psychosis?
Yeah, so the conclusion of the study is basically the same as every study. More research is needed. It talks about how the mental health field isn't quite ready for this, that mental health professionals need to start thinking about how AI is going to impact people, it says the rapid proliferation of AI and conversational AI chatbots has introduced unprecedented mental health challenges that mental health professionals are ill-equipped to address. The first line of the conclusion. And I think that kind of sums it up quite well. I mean, it's not necessarily all negative, as we've said. There can be positive uses of AI. The issue is just the environment that we find ourselves in when it comes to AI. But that is pretty much it for this one, Luke. Is there anything that you have to add?
Your AI is not conscious.
Too late, sorry. It's the end of the episode. That is all from us. But before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with an extra special thank you to you for watching. Thanks for watching.
Cheers.
You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday. And why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys or find and contact us at SciGuysPod.co.uk.
That's SciGuysPod.co.uk. SciGuysPod.co.uk.
You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCutforth everywhere.
And you can follow us both to the Patreon.
Off we go. We'll be right back.